My name is Garland Robinson, and the subject is water baptism.
Have you been baptized? What is baptism? When we talk about baptism, talk about water baptism, we need to understand it's one of the more prominent doctrines of all the Bible. It matters not what I think or believe about it or what you think or believe about it, what some denomination says, but it does matter what the Bible says. We need to understand that not everyone is eligible to be baptized, even though they're commanded to. Baptism is just for certain people. It's for those who are alien sinners. Baptism is for those who have sinned and stand separated from God. In that regard, it's not for small children. It's not for those who have never sinned. Baptism is for sinners. It's not for saved people. It's not for those who have already been saved. For them, they have no need of being baptized. They've already been born again. They've already had forgiveness. They've already been put into Christ. But baptism is for those who have never been forgiven of God. The only ones who have sinned are those who have reached the age wherein they are accountable to God for their sins. Well, that rules out infants, small children, that rules out adults, perhaps who are mentally incapable of comprehending the significance of sin and the Lord's atoning sacrifice for sin. Baptism is for those who can be taught. In Matthew chapter 28, in verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission, the Lord said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Baptism is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. You may be baptized, but unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, then baptism is no value to you. In order to be scripturally properly baptized, you have to repent of your sins. Luke 13 and verse 3, "Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." The Lord teaches all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And then baptism is also for those who have confessed faith in Christ. The man on the road to Ethiopia, he'd been to Jerusalem to worship. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was teaching him the gospel. They came to a certain water, and the man said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the man said in Acts 8:37, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We read that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10. Now, some try to claim authorization for infant baptism, but however they do so to their own destruction, they stand without any Bible authority. No place in all the Scriptures can they turn to see and show that one who is an infant or a child is to be baptized. The only ones in the Bible who were ever baptized were those who were responsible for their transgressions. Those who were mentally incompetent obviously cannot believe and have no sins to repent of, nor faith to confess in Christ. They're not competent enough. The Bible clearly says baptism is for, in order to have the remission of sins. It is to put one into Christ. It is to bury that old man of sin and make him a new creature in the Lord. And you know also, the Bible only speaks of one baptism. But yet, when you read, beginning in Matthew and read through Revelation, you read of at least five or six different baptisms. We read of John's baptism. We read of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We read of the baptism of fire, the baptism of suffering, baptism in water of the Great Commission. But when you read Ephesians 4 and verse 5, the Bible says there is one baptism. How then can we reconcile these different baptisms? Well, the answer is to look at the design of each one. When we read of John's baptism, we find that it was an immersion in water. It was for the forgiveness of sins. But it was limited in that it only would last until Christ should die on the cross. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. In Acts chapter 19, verses 3 to 5. It was looking forward to the time that Christ should come. So John's baptism is no longer valid because Jesus teaches his baptism. Then there's Holy Spirit baptism. That was a promise to the apostles, which in turn, that gave them the ability to perform miracles. It gave them the ability to know all the truth without having studied or read or being taught the Word of God. There's no record of it being received by members of the church in general, though a special occasion of it we read about at the house of Cornelius occurred. That was to convince the Jews that God had accepted the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. So Holy Spirit baptism is not prevalent today. There's no purpose, no use of it, no valid cause or reason for it. We read of the baptism of fire. Well, that was to punish the wicked in hell at the end of time. I've heard about people that desire to be baptized with fire. But boy, they don't know what they're talking about. That is hellfire to be meted out at the judgment. Surely no one wants that baptism. There's the baptism of suffering that's spoken of by our Lord. He talked about suffering for the sins of the world. He would be tried and tested. He was ridiculed and crucified on that old rugged cross. He had to go through a baptism of suffering. Well, that's not for me and for you, not his baptism. And then there's water baptism. There's the baptism of the Great Commission. There's the baptism that was administered by the disciples of the Lord upon all sinners who had repented of their sins, confessed faith in Christ, desired to have forgiveness of sins, desired to be saved and united with the Lord. That's what those on the day of Pentecost were told when they desired to have forgiveness of sins. They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Baptism was commanded to be done as long as this world stands. In the Great Commission, the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So people are to be taught, and that is to last until this world stands no more. Water baptism was for the salvation of one soul. Jesus made it very clear, very plain, in Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So out of all of these different baptisms, which is the one that exists today, the one baptism of Ephesians 4, 5? It wasn't John's baptism, for it was superseded by Christ's baptism. It's not Holy Spirit baptism, for it was not promised to everyone. It was only received by a few, the apostles. It's not fire baptism, because it's reserved for the wicked after this world is over. It is not the Lord's baptism of suffering, because that was limited to Him alone. Water baptism, then, is the one that was taught in the Great Commission to be practiced throughout the end of the world as commanded by the Lord. Jesus told His disciples to go to all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Those who were immersed into water would be the ones that would be saved. By the time the book of Ephesians was written in 63 A.D., only one baptism was known, not two, three, four, or five. The one baptism is to be administered to every sinner, every one who repents of their sin, confesses faith in Christ, and desires to be a New Testament Christian, to be washed from their sins in the blood of the Lamb. The one baptism, then, is water baptism. It was commanded by Jesus to be administered upon everyone as long as this world stands. Baptism, then, stands between the sinner and salvation, Mark 16, 16. It stands between the sinner and remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism stands between the sinner and the new life or newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. Baptism stands between the sinner and the sins being destroyed, the old man of sin being put to death, Romans 6 and verse 6. Baptism stands between the sinner and washing from sins, Acts 22, 16. It stands between the sinner and calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. It stands between the sinner and the kingdom of Christ, the way to be born again, John 3:5. Baptism stands between the sinner and the cleansing of one's sins, the washing of water, Ephesians 5:26. Baptism stands between the sinner and dying to sin, Romans 6:7-12. Baptism stands between the sinner and being made free from sin, Romans 6:18. Baptism stands between the sinner and salvation, forgiveness of sins, 1 Peter 3:21. It stands between the sinner and putting off the body of sins, Colossians 2:11-12. Baptism stands between the sinner and Christ's atoning blood, Romans 6:3. It stands between the sinner and being a child of God, Galatians 3:26-27. Baptism stands between the sinner and the death of Christ, Romans 6:3. It stands between the sinner and being a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Baptism stands between the sinner and one's good conscience before God, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism stands between the sinner and putting on Christ, Galatians 3:27. It stands between the sinner and being raised with Christ to walk a newness of life, Romans 6:4. Baptism stands between the sinner and putting off the old man of sin, Colossians 2:12. It stands between the sinner and sanctification of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:26. Baptism stands between the sinner and being united into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. You know what happens after you're baptized? You begin to walk a new life, Romans 6:4. You don't live that new life before you're baptized. It's after you're baptized. When you're baptized, you're a member of the body of Christ. When you're baptized, you begin to worship God faithfully. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. When you're baptized, Satan will try to draw you away from God. Some Christians say you can't fall away from God, but one can fall away from God. There's no subject taught any clearer in all the Bible than that subject that you can fall away from God and be lost. Satan's going to do his best to try to pull you back away from the Lord. So you need to determine that you're not going to forsake the Lord. You're not going to let Satan draw you away from God. You'll not let family and friends, you'll not let work or recreation or anything pull you away from the Lord, that you will and you'll remain to be faithful all the days of your life. You will then seek those things which are above, Colossians 3:1-3. Bible baptism. It is the great divider between the saint and the sinner. The sinner who desires to be a saint will put on the Lord in baptism. All the old things are washed away. Behold, all things are become new. It will give you life in Christ Jesus. He will wash away our sins in His own precious blood. Won't you do that? If we can assist you, study further with you, not a man-made doctrine, not the opinions and traditions of men, but the holy Word of God. We're going to be judged by that Word one day, and that Word must be heeded, believed, and obeyed.
This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.